Welcome to the second hour's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, May 14th, 2020, local and state. Council approves OPD purchases by Michael Merlo. M-M-E-R-L-O at OAOA.com. City Council members approved multiple items on the consent agenda during Tuesday night's virtual meeting, including two Odessa Police Department purchases. Council approved OPD's purchase of a real-time intelligence center, RTIC, which the meeting agenda detailed will better equip OPD to be better prepared to respond. The RTIC costs $169,250, and a portion of that will come from forfeiture funds that were accounted for and seized during crime-related arrests. The other OPD purchase is for a Faro 3D scanner and software, which costs $51,787.59 and is a budgeted expense. The Faro 3D purchase can help OPD recreate 3D versions of scenes on fatalities, murders, and other high-value crime scenes. During the meeting, Charlene McBride gave an update on the 2020 census, and Odessa Regional Medical Center Chief Medical Officer Dr. Rohit Sarvanan gave a COVID-19 update. Sarvanan talked about antibody testing and said that more antibody testing can help medical and health professionals gain more data regarding where Ector County is on the curve. He said that if 1% of the Odessa population is tested and 80% of those samples test positive for the antibody, we can safely say that the virus has gone through our community and is probably out. If 5% or 10% test positive for the antibody, we can safely say that the virus has not hit our community. It may not, or it may, but at least we know it has not hit our community or gone through our community fully. He said that information would be useful for public health to plan based on where the community is on the curve, and that information gained from the antibody testing could help local elected officials make decisions on reopening the economy or pulling back on reopening. Council also appointed Phil George and Rita Badiantes to serve on the Housing Authority of Odessa Board, as well as Brady Ross to serve in the Midland-Odessa Urban Transit District and on the Traffic Advisory Committee. In other news, a press release sent out Tuesday by Governor Greg Abbott's press office detailed that he has extended the COVID-19 disaster declaration for all Texas counties to provide the state resources to help continue mitigating the spread of COVID-19. Local news roundup. Former Monahans police officer sentenced to 87 months in prison. A former Monahans police officer was sentenced to more than 7 years in federal prison and fines totaling $40,000 on a child pornography charge, a Department of Justice press release detailed. Marshall Lacey Hobbs, 36, of Andrews, was sentenced to 87 months in federal prison. U.S. District Judge David Counts also ordered Hobbs to pay fines of $30,000, $5,000 for the Amy and Vicky Child Pornography Victim Restitution Improvement Act, and $5,000 for the Justice for Victims of Trafficking Act, the press release detailed. The press release stated that Hobbs pleaded guilty to one count of child pornography on December 19, 2019. Court records showed Hobbs knowingly engaged in social media communications on his cell phone with a female he knew to be under 18, and he received multiple videos and images of that minor female engaging in sexually explicit activity. When an officer who has sworn to protect his community instead decides to target a child for exploitation, we will be relentless in seeking justice. I am pleased with the sentence imposed today, U.S. Attorney John F. Bash stated in the press release. The Texas Rangers investigated this case along with the Andrews Police Department, the press release detailed. Assistant U.S. Attorney Shane Kreisman prosecuted this case on behalf of the government. Man charged with choking wife. A 23-year-old man was arrested after he reportedly choked and slammed his common-law wife during a small party in South Odessa. Brian Anthony Metza was charged with assault by strangulation or suffocation, family violence, a third-degree felony. The reported assault happened around 1:57 a.m. April 26th in the 1000 block of Oak Avenue, an Odessa Police Department affidavit stated. The complainant, Christina Aldaz, was reportedly crying and had visible redness on her neck when OPD officers arrived. Aldaz stated her common-law husband, Metza, became intoxicated while having a small party in their garage. Aldaz stated Metza began to act aggressively toward guests at the party, the affidavit stated. Aldaz stated her and Metza got into an argument as she was trying to calm him down. Aldaz reportedly told officers the argument became physical when Metza used his hands to grab Aldaz by the neck, squeezing to the extent that she had difficulty breathing, and then he slammed her onto the floor. Metza fled the scene when Aldaz contacted police, the affidavit stated. Metza was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on May 7th, jail records show. He had one bond, totaling $15,000, and posted bail on May 8th. Man charged with punching, kicking girlfriend. An Odessa Police Department affidavit detailed a man was arrested for the second time in 9 months on accusations he assaulted his girlfriend. Francisco Renteria, 35, was charged with continuous violence against the family, a third-degree felony. The reported assault happened around 12:53 a.m. April 10th when OPD officers were dispatched to Grandview Eye Clinic, located at 2102 North Grandview Avenue, the affidavit stated. The complainant reportedly told officers the victim, Crystal Madrid, was assaulted, and she stated that she had been with her on-and-off-again boyfriend, identified as Renteria. Madrid stated that after an argument, Renteria punched her in the face several times with his fist before kicking her out the door of the residence, which caused her to strike the ground. Images of Madrid showed she had redness, swelling, and scrapes to the left side of her face, the affidavit detailed. There was also redness to the right side of her face, swelling above and around her left eye. There were also cuts and bleeding to her right hand and left knee. OPD records also reportedly showed Madrid requested police on July 28, 2019, after she reported being assaulted by Renteria. Renteria was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on May 7th, jail records showed. He had one bond totaling $15,000 and posted bail on May 8th. OA News at OAOA.com. Harmony teacher helping to make face shields. OA News at OAOA.com. Like some of his colleagues with Harmony Science Academy, Ferhat Demir has been 3D printing face shields to help first responders during the COVID-19 pandemic. Harmony Public Schools, a Houston-based group of charter schools, has 23 campuses throughout Texas, including one in Odessa. As part of efforts to celebrate National Charter Schools Week, Harmony Public Schools recently joined a select group of 10 from across America being recognized by the National Alliance for Public Charter Schools as above and beyond award honorees. At the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, Harmony Public Schools assessed the needs of students, their families, and the community, and mobilized. The Above and Beyond Award was earned by schools that took the extra step to serve not only their own students, but also the broader community during the coronavirus pandemic, despite all the challenges that came with transitioning to online learning, a news release said. Staff at Harmony Public Schools are producing face shields and medical supplies for local healthcare workers and first responders on the front lines in the fight against COVID-19. Within a couple of days, 100 Harmony staff members volunteered and got trained on how to make face shields using 3D printers, and they've since donated more than 3,000 face shields in coordination with county and health officials across Texas, the release said. They cost around $1 to make, the release said. Demir's face shields have gone to the Ector County Emergency Management Department, the release said. Demir is printing the bands for the face shields and then attaches them to the shield itself. He said printing 3 bands takes about 10 hours. He instructs 4th through 8th graders in technology and engineering at the kindergarten through 8th grade campus. He said many Harmony campuses are printing face shields right now for first responders, police officers, firefighters, and health departments. We started this all along with our technology and engineering department, and every school has these 3D printers that are printing, Demir said. He added that this matters because if it saves one life, that is a great accomplishment. He's glad to be putting his skills to use for something that is helping people. We are teachers at this school, but we can't see our students. We can't do our basic duties. We are trying to help our parents and students from home and also doing this, Demir said. He said 3D printers are beneficial for students because they can design something and see a real object in their hands. Schools are paying more attention to engineering classes, and this is something that produces what you design. So in the schools for education, 3D printers are going to be in more use, Demir said. The school system continues to seek donations of fabrication materials or other resources to help increase production. To donate, visit https://harmonytx.org/donate-COVID-19. COVID-19 has no hyphen. Harmony Public Schools, harmonytx.org. Go online to make a donation. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, May 14th, 2020. Opinion. Texas View. Stimulus checks shouldn't penalize citizens for their spouses. The point? Congress was sloppy with CARES Act. Now they should clean up their mess. Of the many shortfalls of Congress's pushed through too fast CARES Act, one has seemed particularly misguided, denying economic assistance to people who are U.S. citizens because they're married to someone who isn't. Under the original $2 trillion stimulus package passed March 27th, citizens are excluded from receiving aid if they file taxes jointly with someone who lacks a Social Security number. This includes 4.3 million immigrants who pay taxes using an individual taxpayer identification number, ITIN. Hurry and worry make for bad policy, and in this case, lawmakers looked for broad strokes and sweeping categories to allow them to fast-track aid without worry that it might benefit illegal immigrants. They produced a stimulus package that left out an estimated 2 million citizens, such as Christina Segundo of Fort Worth and her 4 children, who are also U.S. citizens. Had Segundo not filed her taxes jointly and early with her husband, who isn't a citizen but who pays taxes using an ITIN, her family would have received $3,200. Now they'll get nothing. But if the CARES criteria was misguided, so has been the response from opponents. Segundo has joined a class action lawsuit filed by the Mexican-American Legal Defense and Educational Fund against Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, the IRS, and others. The suit claims that CARES is unconstitutional because it violates the First Amendment's Freedom of Expression Clause and the Fifth Amendment's Due Process Clause. Neither seems a particularly strong argument to us, though we can see that there might be a case on the grounds of equal protection. At the same time, California lawmakers have introduced a bill called the Leave No Taxpayer Behind Act, which would not only ensure stimulus payments to citizens in these situations, but also to the non-citizens they married. Let's be clear. CARES was wrong to exclude U.S. citizens from its stimulus package because of their marital status. It's a bad policy that needs to be fixed. The government does have a right and obligation to be prudent with our tax dollars. After all, even public debt has to be repaid, but it also has an obligation to be fair. We recommend a middle path. The courts should reject the class action lawsuit, and Congress should not take up the No Taxpayer Behind Act, but it should fix its sloppy work on a CARES Act that excludes American citizens from help. 4 days before the CARES Act became law, we worried that Congress was choosing speed over effectiveness. We recommended breaking up the stimulus package into smaller, more finely tuned segments to roll out over time because, it turns out, it's hard to spend $2 trillion well. Now, there is a follow-in legend. Four days before the CARES Act became law, we worried that Congress was choosing speed over effectiveness. We recommended breaking up the stimulus package into smaller, more finely tuned segments to roll out over time because, it turns out, it's hard to spend $2 trillion well. Now there is following legislation and a lawsuit that proved the point. The Dallas Morning News. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, May 14th, 2020. Death Notices. Jesus Manuel Jesse Leon, Midland. Jesus Manuel Jesse Leon, 72, of Midland, died Tuesday, May 12, 2020, in Midland. Funeral service is scheduled for 11 a.m., May 16, 2020, at American Heritage Funeral Home. Burial will immediately follow at American Heritage Cemetery. Pastor Tuesday is officiating. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Bionica Jean Bonnie Kuhn Sullivan, Odessa. Bionica Jean Bonnie Kuhn Sullivan, 62, of Odessa, died Tuesday, May 12, 2020, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Friday, May 15, 2020, at Grace Lutheran Church in La Mesa, Texas. Funeral services are scheduled for 1 p.m. Saturday, May 16, 2020, at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Odessa. Graveside services will be held at 1 p.m. Saturday, May 23, 2020, at Grace Lutheran Cemetery in Sparenburg, Texas. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Pedro Olivas, Midland. Pedro Olivas, 74, of Midland, died Monday, May 11, 2020, in Midland. Funeral service is scheduled for 2 p.m. Friday, May 15th, 2020, at Acres West 24-Hour Funeral Chapel. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens in Midland, Texas. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Maria de Lourdes Muniz Ronquillo, Odessa. Maria de Lourdes Muniz Ronquillo, R-O-N-Q-U-I-L-L-O, 45, of Odessa, died Monday, May 11th, 2020, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. on Friday, May 15th, 2020, St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2 section. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, May 10, 2020. Obituaries. Elizabeth Ann Coble Glenn. Elizabeth Ann Coble Glenn passed peacefully from this life on April 21, 2020, in Austin, Texas, 6 weeks shy of her 94th birthday. Married to Jack Dowdy Glenn for 54 years, Elizabeth was the mother of 4 children, 8 grandchildren, 4 great-grandchildren, a supportive aunt, a friend to many, and a lover of animals, the ocean, and anything purple. Born in Burlington, North Carolina on June 2, 1926, to Charles Benjamin and Myrtle Nicholson Coble, Elizabeth attended the Women's College of the University of North Carolina, graduating in 1949. She completed her dietetic internship at Oklahoma A&M University, where she met Jack. They were married on September 15, 1954, and began their life together in Midland, where Jack worked as a geologist. A hospital dietitian specializing in institutional management, Elizabeth Colling was preparing food and feeding people. Her kitchen was a place of frenzied activity, whether feeding family, hosting Cub Scouts, or making a 5-tiered wedding cake. For more than a decade, she ran a catering business from her home, enlisting the help of husband and children, handing cakes and hors d'oeuvres in the family station wagon, and gaining clients by word of mouth. A charter member of Fannin Terrace Baptist Church, she was a fixture in the kitchen, planning menus, shopping, and cooking for Wednesday night suppers, preparing treats for vacation Bible school, and organizing receptions and special events. Often dressed in dietitian attire, a white uniform, white hose, and white shoes, she was affectionately known as Liz the Wiz, the White Tornado. A dedicated volunteer with a heart for the elderly, Elizabeth was instrumental in starting the Meals on Wheels program in 1974. She was also engaged in many aspects of the Midland community, serving several years as chairwoman of the Fannin Elementary School Halloween Carnival, supporting the Midland High School Band, greeting visitors at the Midland Airport and volunteering with the Commemorative Air Force. A proud and supportive grandmommy, she attended plays, concerts, sporting events, and school activities as often as possible. When she was able to attend an event, she would tell her grandkids, "Put me in your pocket." Elizabeth is survived by her children, Mary Glenn and husband Floyd of Midland, Patty Glenn Leander and husband Bruce of Austin, Robert Glenn and wife Rachel of the Woodlands, Benjamin Glenn and wife Sherry of San Carlos, California, her grandchildren, Christopher Glenn Keegan, and wife Lee of Austin, Harrison Glenn Prather and wife Megan of Midland, Alex Glenn Prather of Portugal, Katie Leander of Austin, Allie Alvey and husband Mike of Bartlesville, Oklahoma, Jack Glenn and wife Shelby of Temple, Jack Glenn and Ava Glenn of San Carlos, California, and great-grandchildren Kate and Caroline Keegan of Austin, and Miles and Claire Alvey of Bartlesville, Oklahoma. She also leaves dear nieces, nephews, and friends that meant the world to her. The family wishes to thank Halcyon Hospice of Austin, as well as special friends Terry, Lizzie, and Noemi for brightening Mom's world with their laughter, tender care, and smiling faces. A celebration of life will be held at a later date under the direction of Harrell Funeral Home of Austin. Memorial contributions can be made to the Midland Meals on Wheels program through Senior Life Midland, P.O. Box 80159, Midland, Texas, 7-7-0-8. Frankie A. Bartol. Frankie A. Bartol, 83, of Midland, passed away peacefully on Thursday, May 7, 2020, surrounded by her family. A graveside service will be 11 a.m. Monday, May 11, 2020, at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Frankie was born on July 14, 1936, in Pecos, Texas, to Margaret Hollis and Charles Marstrand. Frankie grew up in a wonderful and loving family, with many beloved aunts, uncles, and cousins. Family was most important. Frankie loved life, rarely met a stranger, and had a personality that filled a room. She attended and graduated from Big Spring High School in 1954. She loved a band in school, and an early career aspiration was to be a band director. Frankie achieved first chair in all-state band, played in a dance band, and loved doing plays. She enjoyed playing tennis and bowling. Frankie worked for 50 years holding a work ethic of great integrity and achievement of impeccable results. She worked as a civil servant in a secretarial administrative capacity for 40 years with service to the United States Air Force, where she earned top security clearance, as well as the United States Postal Service, Social Security Administration, and the FDIC. She retired from civil service in 1995 and then worked another 10 years in the Midland oil industry. Frankie was blessed with many incredible friendships over her lifetime. She maintained a closeness with many dear friends from her school years. Though she loved people and her family and friends, she also enjoyed being a homebody. Frankie was a huge animal lover and always had multiple pets. She was extremely tender-hearted. She also loved professional tennis and was a lifelong Dallas Cowboys fan. Frankie loved many and was loved by so many. She will be greatly missed. The memories we all hold are blessings beyond measure. Frankie is survived by her two daughters, Alice Bledsoe and Cindy Bledsoe of Midland, her sister, Charlotte Meeks of Midland, her niece, Valerie Meeks of Howard Beach, New York, her nephew, Tommy Meeks, Jr. of Colorado City, Texas, her great-nieces, Lauren Cox and husband, Hunter, of Snyder, Texas, Samantha Dunn and husband, Tanner, of Norfolk, Virginia, great-great-nephews, Taylan Dunn and Kylan Dunn, and numerous second and third cousins. Frankie is preceded in death by her beloved husband of 42 years, Leo A. Bartol, infant son, Harold Jean Bledsoe, Jr., and parents Charles and Frankie Marstrand. The family would like to express their eternal gratitude toward the wonderful caregivers with Hospice of Midland. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to Hospice of Midland, animal rescues or charities, or a charity of your choice. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Gonzalo Reyna. Gonzalo Reyna, 87, was born May 18, 1932, in Sierra Mojada, Chihuahua, Mexico, and passed away Thursday, May 7, 2020, in Stanton, surrounded by his loving family. He married Isidra in September 1950 and had 9 children. A private visitation will be held on Friday, May 8, 2020, at Stanton Memorial Funeral Home. Funeral Mass will be held Saturday, May 9, 2020, at St. Joseph's Catholic Church at 10 a.m. Interment will follow at St. Joseph's Catholic Cemetery. Survivors include his wife, Isidra Reyna, daughters Cecilia Lara, Zoila Salgado, Rosemary Camacho, Delia Zamudio, Mary Camacho, sons Gonzalo Reyna, Nicholas Reyna, Salvador Reyna, Jorge Reyna, sisters Carolina Murillo, Maria Romero, Flora Reyna, Carolina Hidalgo, Yolanda de la Torre, 41 grandchildren, 66 great-grandchildren, and 4 great-great-grandchildren. Serving as pallbearers is Felix Camacho, Gonzalo Reyna, Gonzalo N. Reyna, Tomas Salgado, Jorge Reyna, and Johnny Reyna. Funeral arrangements were under the direction of Stanton Memorial Funeral Home and Chapel. Leon Buck Weber. Lieutenant Colonel Leon Buck Weber, USAF, retired, took off his last flight on Friday, May 1. He was a veteran of 3 wars and a longtime resident of Greentree in Midland. He passed away peacefully in Las Cruces, New Mexico, the last of more than two dozen places he called home over an extraordinary journey of 93 years. He was the fourth of seven kids, born in Maljamar, New Mexico, in 1926 to a pioneer New Mexico family. He went to school in Buckeye and Jowl and graduated from Lovington High School. Leon enlisted in the Army Air Corps in 1945, catching the end of World War II, the first of three wars in which he served. He attended New Mexico State University, then New Mexico A&M, and the New Mexico School of Mines before graduating from the University of Tulsa in 1952. Before that, he met and married Linnell Griffith from Lockney, Texas. Linnell, fresh out of Texas Tech, was teaching school in Lovington. They were partners for the next 51 years until Linnell's death in 2003. They lived and traveled around the world, raising three kids along the way. After graduating, he was commissioned a second lieutenant and sent off to flight school. He spent the next 30 years flying a variety of aircraft for the U.S. Air Force. Most of those years were as a command pilot in the B-52. He had somewhere around 10,000 flying hours in his book, flew more than 150 combat missions in Vietnam, and had a nice collection of medals, none of which he ever talked about. After the Air Force, he spent another 16 years in business aviation with Simuflight, training business jet pilots. 15 years ago, he married Betty Fort Graham, a hometown gal from Lovington who had called Midland home for many years. They were an adorable couple, and his time with her was not only very happy, but surely extended his life for years as well. Her family embraced him as well, something for which he was grateful beyond words. Dad liked bad jokes and a good martini, often together. In his younger days, he was a competitive runner and handball player, later a fine golfer and excellent bridge player. He loved exploring and was always up for going somewhere or seeing something new. He liked to see what was around the corner or over the next hill. He was a colorful storyteller and a gifted griller of steaks. He was a poor but enthusiastic harmonica player. He could talk to anyone, and often did. Leon is survived by three kids, Melissa Petty, her husband Michael, and son Andrew, Michael Weber and Susan Engelhart, and his kids Nick and Audrey, Eric Weber and his sons Jake and Dylan. His much-loved daughter-in-law, Karen Weber, left us before he did. Betty's family became his too, and vice versa, and he leaves behind her daughter, Janet Jaques, and her husband, John, son, Alan Graham, and wife, Sally, and daughter, Susan Graham, and her husband, Clay Brakely, along with 11 grandchildren and 7 great-grandchildren. This leaves his sister, Tommy Dean, Tot, as the last of the clan. Leon will be buried at the National Cemetery in Dallas as soon as we can get him on the schedule there. Phyllis A. Pyle. Phyllis A. Pyle, 92, of Midland, Texas, went peacefully to heaven on May 7, 2020. Born Phyllis A. Haney to Mike and Bertha Haney in Stroud, Oklahoma, Phyllis attended 12 years of public school. After graduating Stroud High School, Phyllis became a phone operator in Stroud and later transferred to Oklahoma City and continued working there. While living in Oklahoma City, Phyllis met and married Lloyd A. Pyle in 1952. After living in Sterling, Colorado and Potter, Nebraska, the now family of five relocated to Farmington, New Mexico in 1963 and lived until Phyllis moved to Midland in 2012. Phyllis is survived by her sister, Joyce Van Cleve of Shawnee, Oklahoma, three children, Michael Pyle, Robbie of Buda, Texas, Sharon Gibson, Chris of Midland, Texas, and Linda Simmons, Tim, of Cabot, Arkansas. She is also survived by four grandchildren and 7 great-grandchildren. Phyllis was predeceased by a great-grandson in 1998 and her loving husband in 2012. Phyllis was a member of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Farmington. She loved traveling, reading, and embroidering. She was an active member of Midland Senior Citizens, where she enjoyed Bible studies and gospel singing. Phyllis will be greatly missed. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Robert Neal. Robert Neal, 94, of Midland, passed away on Friday, April 3, 2020. A memorial service will be held at 10 a.m. on Thursday, May 21, at Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Robert was born on April 30, 1925, in El Paso, Texas, to Winnie Mae Davis and Morgan Neal. He served in the Army Air Force as a B-25 pilot and was discharged in 1945. Robert graduated from Texas Tech University with a B.S. in geology. He married Regina Isabel Calhoun on June 3, 1949, and was happily married for 69 years. He worked with Pure Oil Company until 1969, when he became an independent geologist. Robert was known for his custom-modified gadgets that he engineered to his specifications. He loved music and was known to start singing at the drop of a hat. Robert and his wife were passionate about their dogs, and Robert had a knack for training. Robert was a wealth of knowledge. His anecdotes and stories will be missed by family and friends. Robert is preceded in death by his wife, Regina Isabel Neal. The family would like to express their gratitude towards Home Hospice and Robert's dear friends that were family to him and his wife. We rejoice that Robert and Regina are now together with their Savior, Jesus Christ. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests memorials to be donated to the Robert and Regina Neal Fund with the Permian Basin Area Foundation. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Russell Craig Reinhardt. Russell Craig Reinhardt was promoted to heaven on May 5, 2020, and we celebrate his promotion. Russell was born July 23, 1957, to Dolly and Glenn Jones in La Mesa, Texas. Dolly later married Jackie Reinhardt, who adopted Russell and his older brother, Monty, and became their lifelong friend and father. Russell grew up in Brownfield, Texas, and moved to Marble Falls in the early 90s, where he lived, except for a few years in Midland, until his death. Many obituaries talk about major life events, accomplishments, and achievements. Russell had many of those, but what marked his life more than anything was his character. He saw the good in others. Always. Every time someone complained about another person's behavior, without fail, Russell always responded by saying something like, "Well, you know, he's been going through a hard time lately. She didn't mean that. He's trying so hard." You get the picture. He always came to the other's defense and tried to smooth things over. A true peacemaker, and kind and generous to the bone. If you needed something and he had the means to help, it was done. No question. Take what you need. And oh, how sweet he was. Kind and loving, always forgiving. His smile softened, soothed, and lightened your heart. And he was a damn hard worker. Worked most of his life in the oil fields. Started when he was 16 years old as a roughneck for Cactus Drilling, and at the age of 20 became the youngest tool pusher in the history of the company. He made no excuses, ever. Get the job done. Do what's needed. No complaints. Oh, and he loved to fish. It was his way of praying. The water, the quiet, the solitude. His character remained the same during his very painful illness and subsequent death. And his true colors only got brighter and more lovely as he navigated his way from this world to the next. He was preceded in death by his daughter, Crystal Reinhardt Conaway Clark, of Burnet, Texas, his birth father, Glenn Bounce Jones, and his adopted father, Jackie Don Reinhardt. He is survived by his mother, Dolly Reinhardt of O'Donnell, Texas, older brother, Monty Reinhardt, and wife, Janet of Midland, Texas, younger sisters, Vicki Reinhardt of Horseshoe Bay, Texas, and Kelly Reinhardt and husband, Shmuel of Beersheba, Israel, two grandchildren, Taylor and Sage Clark, and his longtime partner and beloved friend, Cindy Durden of Tau, Texas. He is also survived by many dearly loved nieces, nephews, cousins, and lifelong friends. May we honor his memory by the love, generosity, and care we give to our families, our friends, and our neighbors. The family will receive guests from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Sunday, May 10, 2020, at Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home. Graveside service will be held at 11 a.m. Monday, May 11, 2020, at Evergreen Cemetery in Stanton. The family suggests memorial donations be made to Hospice Midland, 911 West Texas Avenue, Midland, Texas, 79701. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. T.M. Hughes. T.M. Hughes, the third M.D., unexpectedly passed away on April 24, 2020, at UMC Hospital in Lubbock, Texas. His family was by his side as he peacefully went to the Lord. T.M. was born in McKinney, Texas, on August 18, 1955, to T.M. Hughes Jr. and Mary McKnight Hughes. He lived in Val Alstein, Texas, until the age of 8, and then moved with his family to Salina, Texas. He graduated valedictorian from Salina High School in 1973. He attended Texas Christian University, where he met his wife, Cynthia Pipery Hughes. They married after college and moved to Galveston, Texas in 1978, where T.M. attended University of Texas Medical Branch and graduated in 1982. T.M. completed his general surgery training at the Northeastern Ohio University's College of Medicine and fulfilled his residency in urology at the University of Louisville Hospitals in 1987. Later that year, T.M. opened his urology practice in Houston, Texas, and remained there until 2008. He and Cynthia left Houston to pursue a slower life. For T.M., this meant only working 40 hours a week, which was too slow for T.M. He spent 1 year in Burnet, Texas, working for Seton Hospital, then settled in Midland, Texas, where he was able to work more hours without Houston traffic, which he loved. During his 10 years in Midland, he worked with West Texas Urology, Texas Tech Surgery in Midland, and Odessa Regional Medical Center as their urologist. Throughout his career, he had many professional affiliations. He was a member of the American Urological Association, Texas Medical Association, Midland Medical Association, Alpha Kappa Kappa Medical Fraternity, and a diplomat on the American Board of Urology. He also held many chairman positions of various hospital boards throughout his 36-year career, including Chief of Staff, Chief of Surgery, Medical Executive Committee, Credentials Committee, and bylaws, rules, and regulations at different hospitals. Dr. Hughes was a dedicated physician who cared about his patients. His sense of humor and love of laughter will be greatly missed in the hospital halls. Although T.M. practiced medicine with great passion, he always made time for his family. T.M. and Cynthia had 5 children, and he loved being an integral part of their lives. After a long day at the office, he could be seen catching the end of their sporting events or helping them with their homework. While the children were at home, Sundays were for church and family time. You could often find the entire family sitting in the car while T.M. made his rounds at the hospital so they could go to dinner or a movie right after. His family will miss his faith, love, joy, and laughter. He, with Cynthia, taught his kids humility, grace, forgiveness, morality, charity, and the importance of God in their lives. T.M. is survived by his wife of 42 years, Cynthia Pipery Hughes, and their 5 children, Catherine Hughes Salt and her husband Anthony, Rebecca Hughes Werner and her husband Matthew, Rachel Hughes Christensen and her husband Kent, Ellen Hughes Delery and her husband Dean, and Matthew Hughes and his fiancée Eleanor Clark Brennan. He had 6 grandchildren, Tucker, Carter, and Wyatt Salt, Graham and Claire Werner, Crawford Christensen, and 2 more on the way. He is also survived by his sister, Terry, and her husband, Terry Robbins, his aunts, Jerry Ann Gentle, Betty Hughes, and Linda Hughes, his mother-in-law, Modi Pipery, and his brothers and sisters-in-law, Ronald and Melanie Pipery, and Stephanie and Greg York, and his nieces and nephews, Leslie Chambliss, Lauren Hoff, Kenan Robbins, Natalie and Modi Pipery, and Christopher and Elizabeth York. He is preceded in death by his parents, Mary and T.M. Hughes, Jr., his father-in-law, Ronald Pipery, and sister-in-law, Elizabeth Nicole Pipery. A funeral mass will be held in Houston on May 12th at 10:30 a.m. at St. John Vianney Catholic Church. If you plan on attending the funeral in Houston, the church is asking that you spread out between families and wear a mask due to COVID-19. A celebration of life will be held in Midland at a later date, due to COVID-19. If you would like to attend, please email catesult@me.com so the family can let you know when the date is set. Virginia Carter. Virginia Carter went home to see Jesus on May 5, 2020. She was born on May 21, 1930 to Horace and Emma May Orr in Lockney, Texas, and was the youngest of 7 children. Virginia married the love of her life and the only boy she ever dated, Gene Carter, on June 1, 1947. They were blessed with over 72 years of devotion and love. After graduating from Graham High School in 1947, She was a homemaker and spent years raising her two girls before re-entering the workforce in 1961 for the Texas Highway Department. After moving to Midland, she worked in the oil industry as a production clerk and tax analyst for 35 years. She retired from her last employer, Parker and Parsley, in 1995. Virginia was a follower of Christ and an active member of First Baptist Church. She enjoyed worshiping with other believers as well as four generations of family members. Despite its struggle with dementia, Virginia never lost her ability to pray, and she always exhibited her love of the Lord to everyone in her life. She was a devoted wife, mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother. Virginia was preceded in life by her husband, Gene, by 95 days. She is survived by daughter Diane Upchurch and husband Gary of Midland, daughter Debbie Helvig and husband Bill of Denver City, granddaughter Stacy Calloway and husband Corey of Midland, grandson Brandon Howard of Keller, Texas, grandson Jeremy Upchurch and wife Sarah of North Richland Hills, Texas, Faith, Carter, Ben, Margaret, Ross, Sydney, and Macy, her seven great-grandchildren, knew and loved their Meemaw. The family would like to express their appreciation to Legacy Ranch Memory Care for their loving attention during the last 3 months, especially during the quarantine when family visitation was not available. A public viewing is scheduled for Sunday, May 10, 2020, from 10 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home. A celebration of Virginia's life will be held on Monday, May 11, 2020, at 2 p.m. in the chapel of the funeral home. Consistent with the actions of churches and places of worship across the state, social distancing practices will be in effect. People are welcome to wear masks and other protective gear. The service will also be live-streamed from the link at www.npwelch.com. In lieu of flowers, the family requests donations be made to First Baptist Church, 2104 West Louisiana Avenue, Midland, Texas, 79701. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Death notices. Benigno Salazar Jr. Benigno Salazar Jr., 73, from Odessa, Texas, went to his Heavenly Father on Thursday, May 7, 2020. Ben is survived by his ex-wife, Carmen Salazar, and his daughter Yvonne Salazar of Midland, and his son Michael R. Salazar of Frisco, Texas. Avalo Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home in Midland, Texas, have been entrusted with the services for Mr. Salazar. The family has decided to have a small memorial for Ben, with immediate family and close friends in attendance. A celebration of life will be planned at a later date. In lieu of flowers, the family is asking for donations to be given to Gifts of Hope. www.westtexasgiftsofhope.org. Maria Duque. Maria Duque, 89, of Midland, passed away Sunday, May 3, 2020, at Midland Memorial Hospital. She was born March 25, 1931, in Bastrop to the late Juanita Alonso and Antonio Martinez. Services will be held privately by the family. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, May 10th, 2020, Section A. Obituaries for Sunday, May 10th. Barbara Lynette Wood Gillick. Barbara Lynette Gillick, beloved wife, mother, and grandmother, died May 4th at her home in Marble Falls. She was 83 years old. She was born December 25th, 1936, to Louise and Orville E. Wood in Rising Star. She married Buck Gillick in 1954. She is survived by her husband, Buck, her children, Brenda, and husband, L.D. Green of Midland, Bill and wife, Judy Gillick of Midland, Beverly and husband, Gary Martin of Marble Falls, 10 grandchildren, 21 great-grandchildren, as well as her sister, Linda Smith. She is preceded in death by her daughter, Barbie, and a granddaughter. Graveside services will be held Monday, May 11th at 1 p.m. at the Kermit City Cemetery. Online condolences may be made at www.clementswilcoxfuneralhome.com. Lois Ramsey Beeson. Lois Beeson of Maumelle passed away May 4th. She was born February 14, 1929, in Coy, Arkansas, to the late John and Violet Murchison Ramsey. Lois was preceded in death by her husband of 55 years, Edgar Beeson, a son, Larry Beeson, and her four brothers. Survivors include two daughters, Robin Henry and husband Larry of Odessa, and Lynn Banatzak of North Little Rock, three grandchildren, and one great-grandchild. Memorials may be made to the Alzheimer's Association of Arkansas at act.alz.org. Burial will be at the Arkansas State Veterans Cemetery. The online guestbook is found at www.smithfamilycares.com. Linnaeus Hooper Lorett. Linnaeus Hooper Lorett passed away April 21st. He was born in Donaldsonville, Louisiana, July 19, 1945, to Willard Linnaeus Lorett and Richie Hooper Lorett. He was preceded in death by his parents. He is survived by his sister, Glee Lorett Greenwood, and husband Bob of Montana, a niece and nephew, along with great nieces and great nephews and cousins. In honor and memory of Lynn and the countless number of dogs he saved with the help of George at the Marfa Animal Shelter, please consider promoting his legacy by donating to the shelter. By check made to George Gonzalez, care of Marfa Animal Shelter, Post Office Box 787, Marfa, Texas 79843. Death notices. Lisa Clifton. Lisa Clifton, 62, of Hobbs, New Mexico, died Monday, May 4th. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Judy Carol Mapp Jones. Judy Carol Mapp Jones, 79, of Odessa, died Thursday, May 7th. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Armando Garcia Lavario. Armando Garcia Lavario, 70, of Odessa, died Thursday, May 7th. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Tuesday, May 12th, at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel. The family has opted for private cremation to follow. Billy Eileen Morgan. Billy Eileen Morgan, 97, of Odessa, died Friday, May 8th. Graveside service is scheduled for 10 a.m. May 12th at Sunset Memorial Gardens, with John and Jay Hendricks officiating. Darla Danette Walden. Darla Danette Walden, 57, of Odessa, died Sunday, April 26th. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Odessa Funeral Home of Odessa. Alonzo Griffin Lonnie Sims. Alonzo Griffin Lonnie Sims passed away Thursday, May 7th, at the age of 93, after a brief residency at the Courtyards Assisted Living and Memory Care Facility in Odessa. Due to the coronavirus issues, the funeral services will be attended by the family only at Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home Monday, May 11th, with Pastor Todd Saltzwedel of First United Methodist Church officiating. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Lonnie Sims was born October 14, 1926, in Mobile, Alabama. He married John L. Nelson in 1950. He is survived by his wife, John L., three sons and their wives, Gary and Nancy Sims, Curtis and Janet Sims, Scott and Glenda Sims, his seven grandchildren and their spouses, 14 great-grandchildren. Memorials may be given to First United Methodist Church of Odessa, Meals on Wheels, Home Hospice of Odessa, or a charity of your choice. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send family condolences, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. T.M. Hughes III, M.D. T.M. Hughes III unexpectedly passed away April 24th at UMC Hospital in Lubbock. T.M. was born in McKinney, August 18, 1955, to T.M. Hughes Jr. and Mary McKnight Hughes. He is survived by his wife of 42 years, Cynthia Perry Hughes, and their five children, Catherine Hughes Salt and husband Anthony, Rebecca Hughes Werner and husband Matthew, Rachel Hughes Christensen and husband Kent, Ellen Hughes Delary and husband Dean, and Matthew Hughes and his fiancée, Eleanor Clark Brennan. Six grandchildren, his sister Terry and her husband Terry Robbins, aunts, mother-in-law, sisters-in-law, nieces and nephews. A funeral mass will be held in Houston May 12th at 10:30 a.m. at St. John Vianney Catholic Church. A celebration of life will be held in Midland at a later date due to COVID-19. If you would like to attend, please email catesult@me.com so the family can let you know when the date is set. Visit www.detlingfuneral.com to find service information and leave words of condolence for the family. Obituaries for Sunday, May 10th. Billy A. Morgan. Billy Eileen Morgan, 91, of Odessa, passed away May 8th in hospice care at Orchard Park Assisted Living in Odessa. Graveside services will be held Tuesday, May 12th at Sunset Memorial Gardens with John Hendricks officiating. Billy was born in Oakley, Kansas, October 28th, 1928. She is preceded in death by her husband, J.P. Morgan, her mother, Grace J. Richards, brother Paul F. Jacka and wife Alice, and sister Bobby E. McDaniel and husband Jack. She is survived by three sons, Jay Hendricks and wife Susan of Odessa, John Hendricks and wife Kelly of Odessa, and Rick Hendricks and wife Teresa of San Antonio, daughter Christine Carson and husband Alan of Granbury, seven grandsons, three granddaughters, a nephew, two nieces, six great-grandsons, and eight great-granddaughters. Social distancing is still in effect, so we ask for immediate family only at the graveside. Friends and other family members are welcome to stay in their vehicles and listen to the service via radio tuned to FM 104.9 or watch the live stream from their webpage at www.sunsetodessa.com. In lieu of flowers, please make a memorial contribution to the Ronald McDonald House of Odessa or Highland United Methodist Church of Odessa. Daniel Gray. Daniel Gray, 56, passed away Wednesday, April 29th in Lubbock. He was born in Odessa, June 5th, 1963, to Elmer William Gray and Margaret Karen Harden. He was preceded in death by his parents, Margaret, Susie, and Tommy Lewis Murphy. He is survived by daughters Danielle Gray of Farmington, New Mexico, Stormy Gray and Abigail Gray of San Angelo, his son Devin Gray and wife Lauren of Carlsbad, eight grandchildren, a sister Cynthia O'Keefe and husband Michael of Muskogee, Oklahoma, Brother Dale Reese of Benbrook, Sister Debbie Langston and husband Jean of Weatherford, Brother Tony Gray and wife Gwen of Navarre, Florida, Brother Tom Murphy and wife Cheryl of Millsap, Brother Dr. Mark Murphy of Ruston, Louisiana, Brother Terry Murphy and wife Kim of Greenwood, Brother Kenneth Murphy of Odessa, Sister Melissa Gage and husband Farrell of Mineral Wells, Sister Jennifer Gray and husband Ray of Odessa, and many nieces and nephews. A memorial service will be held Friday, June 5th at Sunset Heights Baptist Church in Odessa, starting at 2 p.m.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or your favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.